All right, I'm going to say good morning. Let's begin. Mazel Tov, welcome to Maseches Gittin. And I want to say to begin today on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah. So first of all, I made a mistake yesterday. The dedication for Ben-Zion Lushansky was actually not for yesterday, it's for today. So today's daf is sponsored by Bruce and Orly Luchansky in commemoration of the art site of Ben Sion's mother, Chava Bas Ben Sion. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah. So as it says the Mishnah, Habevi get mibedinas hayam. If one goes ahead and brings a get from overseas. Now remember, so Tosas already begins by saying that although that we use the word get, to really refer to any particular type of document, but lemaisa again, get in this particular context refers to what we call a gitei noshim, refers to a document of divorce. So Tosas actually has something very interesting, just by way of introduction. So Tosas says that the word get, because this is very interesting in terms of the etymological word of the Torah, uses the word sefer krisos. So literally a book of division. So the word get is something we find ultimately again in Mishnaic literature. So Tosas points out that the word get is based on the fact that a get was a document that was written in 12 lines, which is the numerical value ultimately of get, right? Of Gimel and Tess. So it's interesting. So the Gra asks on this, he says, so that's what it's about, that it's a numerical value of 12. So the Gra points out the number of different formulations that could have given you another word. You didn't have to be get. So the Gra says something very interesting. In Divrei Eliyahu, listen to this. He says, Makara Shem get. This is amazing. See, quotes Tosis, the machmas kein hayanosin likra gam chad oze. You didn't have to call it a get. You could have called it chad. Chas is 8, dalet is 4. Or ze, zayin is 7, hay is 5, which also both those would have equal 12 as well. This is fascinating. This is the Gra. Only the Gra can come up with an idea like this. Ela haynu mishum shalomatsinu b'chol ha-Torah sha'osios gimel v'tes smuchim ze lo ze. So the Gra says, throughout the entire Torah, the letters gimel and tes are never next to each other. The words gimel and tes never appear next to each other in the Torah. Therefore, says the Gra, Lachain Bachru Dafka Bazeh Shezemochiach al Peirut. Therefore, says the Gra, Chazal, when trying to come up with a word ultimately again that represented a document of divorce, called it by a name. Yes, they want the numerical value, but also called it by letters that are never found next to each other to represent the fact that it is this sefer, it is this document that ultimately causes the period, causes the division in the marriage. Keen. That's an incredible idea. So two letters in the first of all, just to be able to have that mastery of Torah, to be able to know the words of every single word of Torah, to be able to make a statement like that is quite amazing. So that's why it's called get. Quite amazing. In any event, that's just by way of introduction. So says the, I'll tell you a little bit of Jewish if we have time at the end of this year. So I may be getting dinas hayom. So we'll say, so the case over here is, someone is bringing a get from overseas. Now Rashi points out over here that what's happening in this particular situation is husband is overseas and he is sending a get from himself and overseas to, let's assume right now, his wife in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to discuss that the Baal has the ability, husband has the ability to go ahead and appoint a shaliach, appoint an agent to deliver the get on his behalf. That shliach is called ishliach laholocha, an agent to go ahead and deliver the get. So if you are delivering the get from overseas to Eretz Yisrael, Sarach Shayomar, the agent has to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. So the agent must say that this get was written and this get was signed before me. Look at Rashi. Sarach hashliach hamavi olomar. So the shliach who's bringing the get ultimately has to recite, has to state b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. And again, Rashi just points out over here, u'shliach ze habal atzmo, habal aso shliach la'olocha. As you just mentioned, the shliach that we're talking about over here is a shliach that the husband himself made into what we call a shliach laholacha. Rabbi Gamliel says, af hamevi min harekem u min acheger. So we'll say, we'll define exactly where these places are in the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel says, even if you bring a get from rekem and cheger. Now Rashi points out over here that these are also known as kadesh and barat. So we'll say, so these were border cities in Eretz Yisrael. We'll discuss the significance of them in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer, Omar Afilu Mikfar Ludim Lalud. And Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you bring a get from the village of Ludim to Lud. Now Rashi points out, these were two cities that are right next to each other, but Kfar Ludim was in Chutz La'aretz, and Lud was in Eretz Yisrael. So even though, again, these cities are right next to each other, because one is over the border, and one is within the border, you still have to say, Befani Nechtam, Ubefani Nechtam. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say no. It's Eino Tzarek Shiyomar Befani Nechtam, Ubefani Nechtam. According to the Chachamim, you only have to say Befani Nechtam, Ubefani Nechtam, Ela Hamevi Mimedinas Hayom, V'hamolich. Except someone who brings a get from Medina Asayim, Rabbi says, so Medina Asayim means from overseas, v'hamolich. Now, Rabbi says, now what does this mean? So, molich, Rashi says, is me'eretz Yisrael, le'medina Asayim. Now, Rabbi says, now what the Gemara is going to question is, the Chachamim do not appear to be adding anything to the Shita of the Tanakamo, the first opinion expressed in the Mishnah. So, we'll discuss exactly what they're coming to be mosif. But for now, what the Chachamim are saying is that the only time you have to say b'fanei nechtam, that the Shliach has to say, this get was written in my presence and this get was signed in my presence, is if you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or or from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. If one of those two situations, you have to go ahead and say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Fine. Hamid v'hamidi, mimedina l'medina, b'medina sayam. We'll say now, okay, up until now, we've been speaking about bringing Gittin either from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or now the Chacham also introduced us to Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. What about bringing Gittin between different places in Chutz La'aretz? V'hamevi memedina lemedina bemedina sayam. What happens if you bring from, let's say, one country to another country outside of Eretz Yisrael? So I bring from province A, literally Medina, it means state A to state B, country A to country B, but all in Chutz La'aretz. Sarech shiyomar befanei nechtav ubefanei nechtam. So the Mishnah says the shliach still has to say befanei nechtav ubefanei nechtam, that the get was written and signed in my presence. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer afilu mehegmonia lehegmonia, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says not only that, but even if you're bringing it, Rabbi says hegmonia literally means even if you're bringing it from one kingdom to the next. Now take a look at Rashi. Mehegmonia lehegmonia. B'gemara mefarish ir achas shehayu bashnei hegmonim umakpidim zal zeh shlo yu bnei hegmonia zu nichnasim lechaverta. So we'll say, we will see hegmonia lehegmonia means, let's say you have one area that's split between two rulers. And the Gemara is going to qualify this, that the rulers restrict travel from one kingdom to the next. So says Rav Shimon Gamliel, this is also called traveling from province to province in Chutz La'aretz, even though, again, the proximity is quite close, and the Shaliach will have to say, Befanei Nechtav Ubefanei Nechtam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we'll say, and again, obviously, we're going to define all of these cases in the Gemara. Now, we'll say the Gemara does something very interesting, which is what we've established so far, and this appears to be true according to everyone, is that if you are bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, the shaliach, the agent who is transporting the get on behalf of the husband, has to say b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtam. The Chacham seem to add in an additional case over here of someone who's taking a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. One thing now becomes clear, which is that the next order of business is defining the borders of Eretz Yisrael for these purposes. You'll see later why I say for these purposes, because these borders are going to be the borders of the Inyan Gittin, but may not be the borders for other types of purposes, as we'll discuss. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Merekem leMizrach. Rekem is the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Verekem kimizrach. But Rekem itself is considered to be what? Chutz La'aretz. So Rekem represents the eastern border, and Rekem itself is considered to be outside of the land. Rashi points out, Rekem atzma nidonis kimizrach ha'olam. Rekem itself is considered to be the eastern part of the world, below Keres Yisrael, and it's considered to be Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, again, the ramifications of that are the ha'mevi me'rekem tzarech lomer b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtam. So therefore, again, if one were to go out and, let's say, bring a get from Rekem to Yerushalayim, so they would have to say b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtam. Next, me'ashkelon l'daro, Ashkelon is considered to be the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. The Ashkelon Kidarom. Well, so this is actually quite amazing, which is what? And Ashkelon itself has the status of Chutz La'aretz. Again, this is Le'inyan Gittin. We're going to see why. Right? But Ashkelon again, Ashkelon has the status of Chutz La'aretz. Me'ako Litzafon. So Akko is the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ako Kitzafon. And Akko ultimately is considered to be like the northern part of Eretz, is Chutz La'aretz as well. Rabbi Meir says, no, Akko ke Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Rabbi Meir says, Akko is like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin purposes. Fine. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir, Akko is considered to be like what's within Eretz Yisrael. Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael. How does the Mishnah end? If a get is brought within Eretz Yisrael, so both said, this is the third and final case. So if I remember, we've dealt with get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. We've dealt with get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. And we dealt with get from what, bless you, from one place to another place within Chutz La'aretz. Now, what about from one place to another place within Eretz Yisrael? Samevi get Eretz Yisrael. So the shaliach does not have to say the get was written and signed in my presence. The mi'ishalav orerin, and if there are people who object to the authenticity of the get, then yiskayim bechosamav. Then ultimately, the validity of the get will be upheld through its signatories. In other words, that because all of this is happening in Eretz Yisrael, if someone does try to go out and challenge the get, so the get itself could always be, we'll summon the witnesses. Take a look at Rashi. In Yeshalav Orin, so Rashi says over here, Shabal Ma'arer Shumuzwip. I will say now, in general, as we're going to see, there's really only one person who is objecting to the authenticity of the get, and that's who? And that's going to be the husband. So let's say the husband comes along and says, I never wrote this get. And we'll discuss, by the way, what we do contemporarily to prevent that from occurring, because it could easily occur that a husband could claim he has a change of heart, but he can't reverse the process, so he claims that it's forged. We'll discuss what we do today to prevent that from happening. In any event, if the husband objects and says the get was forged, Rashi says he is kain bechos samav, so ultimately the get will be upheld through his signatures. Vimya idua idim al chasimas yedehem, or idim achirim yakiru chasimasim kosher. So again, either we'll find the witnesses who signed on the get itself and they could uphold their signatures, or we'll find other people who could attest that the signatures on the get really belong to the people who signed on it. That's what we call kiyum shtaros. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. So therefore, again, l'maisa, the way the Mishnah paskins is that within Eretz Yisrael itself, there is no need for b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. There is no need for any type of validation process. Ultimately, again, through the shaliach. Five people say, this is our first Mishnah. Now, says the Gemara, my timer. We'll say, remember, it's always interesting to see a Mishnah like this, where the Mishnah espouses a principle and takes it for granted that it's truth. So says the Gemara, Mishnah, you told me that if you bring a get from Medinas, let's start with the simple case of Medinas Hayam. So you told me that if I bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so the shliach l'holacha, the shliach ultimately was transporting the get on behalf of the husband, bringing it to Eretz Yisrael, has to say the words, b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. This get was written and signed before me. So asks the Gemara, my time, why, what's the reason for this nechtav? So we'll say, for this we have a fascinating machlokas. Rabba Omar, so we'll say, first opinion, Rabba says, l'fi she'ein b'kien l'shmo. Oh, so we'll say, so says Rabba, there's a very good reason. What's the reason? Because people in Chutz La'aretz are not proficient in the laws of Lishma. Now we'll say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Ein v'fish ein b'kin Lishma, ein b'nei medina sayam b'nei Torah. The people of Chutz La'aretz are not b'nei Torah. Ve'ein yodin shetzarech lichtov haget l'shem ha'isha. And we'll say, they're not proficient in the laws, ultimately again, of Gittin. And knowing that a get has to be written for the sake of a particular woman. Ukra ksiv v'kasav la sefer krisos. The pasuk says, the man shall write for her sefer krisos, a book of division. La tahainu l'shma. And both say, we dash v'kasav la means that the get must be written specifically for this woman. Rabbi is a very, very important halacha. You know, you could go into Shapsis and you could buy a ksuva. You could buy a pro forma ksuva that has everything there. All you need to do is fill in the blanks with a get. We'll discuss how much of the get has to be written l'shma, but the important parts all have to be written for the sake of that particular woman. So Rabbi, so for example, the case that we'll see later on. Let's say Reuven's married to Rachel, and they decided getting divorced. Reuven writes the get, and then they reconcile. And Reuven happens to have a friend whose name is Reuven, who also happens to be married to Rachel. And Reuven number two says, such a shame to let a good get go to waste. Right? So you know what? You know, I'll use it. So we'll say, we're literally going to see a case like that. Shmo kishmo, shma kishma. That I will say, you can't use that get. Why? Because even though it's the same exact names, and even if for argument's sake, they live in the same exact place, but Lamaisa, the get has to be written for that particular woman. So says Rabba, the concern we have over here is that the people in Chutz La'aretz are not proficient in the laws of Lishma. So because of that, we are concerned about the validity of a get that comes to us from Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, says Rabba, let's finish Rashi. Rashi says, Hilchach, Omra Shliach B'fanei Nechtav B'fanei Nechtam. So therefore, the Shliach shows up, he says before us, that this get was written in front of me and was signed in front of me. And then when he says that, we ask him, we ask both sides. In other words, that statement is our entry point to engage him in a deeper discussion about whether or not he can attest to the fact that the get was written l'shma. V'hu omer in, and ultimately the shliach says yes. So according to Rabba, the whole reason for b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam is because that statement by itself is not what we're looking for. That statement is a statement that essentially tells us that the shliach was present for the entire writing and signing of the get. That's great. Then after he says that, we're going to ask him, by the way, was the get written l'shma? And hopefully he's going to say yes, and therefore we can ascertain and validate the kashrus of the get. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, so why doesn't he just say the get was written l'shma? Right? Why does he have to go out and say it was written for the Messiah? So we'll get to that later. That's Rabba. Rava Amar Rava says, "Lefi she'ein edin mitzuyin lekaimo." Both say Rava has a different shita, and Rava says that we need him to say b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtam. Why? Because there are not necessarily going to be witnesses who are available to uphold the get. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. "Lefi she'ein edin mitzuyin lekaimo, ein shayaros mitzuyos misham lekan." Both say travel between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael was not always easy. Shem yavo habal v'ya'ar er lomar lo kasavtiv shu'edim mitzuyim lahakir chasima sa'edim. So we'll say, listen to this. The concern over here was the following. If the husband shows up and contests the get, so under normal circumstances, let's play this out. Husband sends a get, and then husband shows up and I never wrote it. It's forged. So we'll say, so what do you have to do? Essentially, the only way to validate that get is to get the witnesses who signed on the get to show up and to testify about the fact that they signed the get. And I must remember again, you only sign the get in the presence of the husband, and you only sign the get when you know that the entire process was a valid one. So, but here's the problem. The problem is if the get's being written in Chutz La'aretz, so therefore if the husband comes here to stroll and objects about the validity of the get, it's not going to be so pashut to get the witnesses to come and to testify about the validity of the document. Therefore, v'he'eminu l'shliach. Therefore, according to Rava, what we're essentially is happening over here is there's what's called a quasi kiyum shtaros. When the eid echad shows up and says b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, what he is doing in this process is he is validating and upholding the document to the point that if someone, even the husband, comes along later on and contests this document, we pay absolutely no attention to the statement of the husband. We'll discuss the mechanics of this in just a little bit. So fundamental machlokes, fundamental dispute between Rabba and Rava. So again, according to Rabba, the whole reason you need the shaliach to say b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtam is because l'fi she'ein b'kiyin l'shma, we're concerned the people of Chutz La'aretz are not proficient in the laws of writing gin, specifically that it has to be written for this specific woman, this specific man. Therefore, when Shliach comes along and says, it was written and signed in my presence, that gives us our entry to ask him, and was it Lishma? And he's going to say yes. According to Rava, It's an issue of upholding the document. We are concerned that if the husband goes in and contests the document, the witnesses will not be able to get here in order to uphold it. Therefore, essentially, we proactively establish the validity of the document by asking the shaliach to attest to the fact that he was present for the writing and the signing of the document. We put our seal of approval on the document, and therefore, even if husband shows up later to contest the document, we pay no heed to the words of the husband. Says the Gemara Mai Benayu, what's the practical difference between these two opinions?
He has to be present for the whole proceedings of the day.
Who has to? It's Bezom with Bez. It's Bezom with Bez. No, good kasha. We're going to discuss that. Mai Benayu, how much does he have to be there for? We're going to see. Mai Benayu. Seika Benayu. So what's the... It's interesting that there's a machlokes, but what's the practical difference between these two opinions? Oh, I'll tell you. Dasyu Betray. So what's the practical difference, number one? What happens if instead, let's say, of one person bringing the get, one shliach lo locha, you had two people bringing the get. So we'll say in that case over there, if you had two people bringing the get, therefore, according to Rabbah, you would still need both of them to say, b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam, because we need them to attest that the get was written the Shema. According to Rava, that essentially the get is being upheld through that statement, I don't need the statement if what? If there are two witnesses. Because they both say two witnesses are a formal testimonial unit, and therefore the mere presence of two delivering the get is in and of itself edus that the get is valid. Next, inami, ba'osa medina b'medina sayam. Another nafkamin Rabbi Osei is, if let's say you are giving a get within the same country in Medina Sabos, in other words, let's say there is a get being written in Baltimore and delivered in Baltimore. So remember, it's being written in Medina Sayam and being delivered in Medina Sayam. So we'll say, according to Rabbah, if you hold that it's a din in Lishma, then what? Then what? Then Lamaisi, you still have to say it. But if you hold according to Rava, also remember, what's Rava's underlying issue? Rava's concern is that if the husband challenges the get, then what's going to happen? The witnesses, we won't be able to get a hold of the witnesses in order to get them to validate their signatures. Well, if at the end of the day, the get is being written in Baltimore and delivered in Baltimore, then even if the husband shows up and challenges the get, then what? It's not a problem. Why? Because we could always get a hold of the witnesses because the get is being written locally. So we'll say two nafkamina cases. Asks the Gemara, Ula Rabbah, and according to Rabbah, Da Amar Lefi, Shem Bekiyin Lishma. So we'll say, according to Rabbah, who says that the shliach laholacha, the agent who brings the get, has to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, because people in chutz la'aretz are not proficient in the laws of lishma, that a get has to be written lishma, li b'itrei. Then Rabbah says, and essentially according to Rabbah, what you're saying is that when that shliach shows up and he says b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, what is he giving? What is he giving? He's giving edos. He's giving testimony. Well, if he's giving testimony about the validity of the shtar, then what? Then you should require two. Because after all, again, testimony requires two people. After all, again, midi da'ava ko edyo sheba Torah. Sdi Gemara says, then you should acquire two edim. Because why should it be different than any other edos, than any other testimony in the Torah? To which the Gemara answers, oh, eid echad ne'eman bi'isurin. All right, I will say, so here's the answer. The answer, says the Gemara, is that an eid echad, one witness, is believed in matters of iser. One witness is believed in matters of iser. I will say, so when it comes to matters of prohibition, ultimately, again, one witness is believed. Since this is an issue of iser, namely ishas ish, marriage, right? That a woman is prohibited when she is a married woman. So therefore, eid echad, one witness should be believed. So it says, I will say, just as an aside, by the way, what's the makar? First of all, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, eid echad bi isurin. So Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, shaharei ha'emina Torah kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael al afrashas truma va'al ashchita va'al nikar hagid va'achilev. So Rashi says something very interesting. So where do we know that eid echad, that one witness is believed when it comes to matters of Isser? Where do we know that from? So Rashi says, well, it's obvious. How do I know this? Because Rabbi say, I am believed to separate out my trumas and maestros. Others are both saying that nowhere does it say that I'm obligated to have witnesses present when I separate out my trumas and maestros. Similarly, if I want, I can go ahead and shecht my own animal. And I don't need witnesses to say that what? That my shechita is kosher. So this is amazing. So Tosfos asks, we're not going to go into this whole thing right now, but it's just a fascinating sugya. So Tosfos is bothered by Rashi's approach. And Tosfos says, but Rashi, but what's the makar? Meaning, like, give me a pasuk, give me something. Because Rashi's saying, the fact that I don't need testimony in all of these situations indicates to me that what? That Eid Echad is Neman Bisurin. So Tosfos says, but what is the makar? So we'll see, if you take a look at Tosfos, it tells us Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin. It's the second to last line in Tosfos. He says, Ve'im Tomar, Umenolan de Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin. Asks Tosfos, how do I know that an Eid Echad, that a single witness, is believed in matters of Isur? Rabbi says, you see it? It's the line that begins, Umenolan, second to last. I'm sorry, actually, there's two Tosfos of Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin. It's 2, 4, 6, 8. It's 9 lines up from the bottom of Tosfos. How do I know that one witness is believed with matters of Isser? We learn it out from Nida. Because what does the Torah say? Didar Shina Beperek Hamadir V'Safra La Liatzma. The Torah says that she shall count for herself 7 days. The Gemara learns out V'Safra La means she is in charge of her own counting. She doesn't have to tell anyone what day she's up to. She doesn't need independent verification of her days, but rather, again, she is in charge of her own counting. Tosfos says that this is the proof. This is the proof text for Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin. The makar for this, says Tosfos, is Nida. So it's fascinating, Machlokis, Rashi, and Tosfos. Rashi says the makar for Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin is a circumstantial makar, a circumstantial proof. The fact that I can do all of these things, and the halacha doesn't require me to have eidos. I could shecht on my own. I could separate out my shumas and maestras on my own. And nowhere do I need independent verification of my activities. Is because I am believed. We see eidach and nambisurin. Tosfos says, no, the makar ultimately for a singular witness being believed in matters of Isser is from Nida. She counts her own days. That count is totally dependent on her. From here we see eidach and nambisurin. So back to the Gemara. So remember, the Gemara's kasha was, according to Rabbah, if you say that the shliach is coming to testify about the validity of the get, you should require two witnesses. To which the Gemara says, no, you only require one witness. Why? Because this is a matter of Isser and Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin. So to which the Gemara says, one second, Eimar Da'aminon Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin Kegon Chaticha Safek Shal Chelev Safek Shal Shuman. Says Gemara, 1 second. When do we say Eid Echad Ne'eman Bi'isurin? When do we say that one witness is believed when it comes to matter of Isser? That's when Rabbi say you have a concept, and Tosfos alludes to this. I didn't do this inside. When what we call Rash, actually the Gemara says, Delo is Chazek Yisura, where the Isser has not been established. So for example, if I have a piece of meat and I'm not sure, is it Chelev? Or is it Shuman? So Rabbi says, Chelev is forbidden fat. Shuman is permitted fat. I don't know. It's a Safi. I don't know what the piece of meat is. And Eid Echad says, it's Mutter. So Rabbi says, an Eid Echad is believed. Why is an Eid Echad believed, Rabbi says, in that circumstance? Because what we call the Lo is Chazek Yisura. The Lo is Chazek Yisura means that the Isser identity of the object has not been established. So if the Isser identity of the object has not been established, therefore, again, even one witness is believed to establish the identity. Aval hocha de'eschazik yisura de'eshes ish havi davisheba de'eshes ish. But I will say, in this case over here, remember, this is a case of what we call eschazik yisura. But I will say, eschazik yisura means what? That the isra has been established. But I will say, what's the isra in this case? The isra in this case is that she's a married woman. She's an eshes ish. So I will say, in this case, the isra has been established. If that's the case, davisheba erva. This is a matter of erva. Vein davisheba erva pachos mishnayim. And Abbas said, when it comes to matters of erva, you require two witnesses. So Abbas said, this is a fascinating idea. So what the Gemara posits is that the only time Eid Echad is Ne'eman Bi'isurin is when the Isser identity of the object has not yet been established. So logically then, because there's not an established Isser identity, therefore even the Eidus of an Eid Echad could kind of shift the identity a little bit. But if the identity of Isser has been established, then you need formal Eidus to be able to change that identity. Abbas said, take a look at Rashi. She says, over here, Hacha is Chazik, Bahach is Issa. Bahach is Issa, Isser Ish as Ish, Umitavalu Shita Logamin, Laki Darmina Biyavamas, Tahasam Biyadla Taknon, Lefichach Nam on the high level. So again, we're not going to get into this now, but Rashi points out, actually Tosus points this out as well, that there are also other cases of Ischazik Yisura where an Eidachar is believed, for example, like by Shita. See, Rabbi say, if you take an animal is also Ischazik Yisura. What's Ischazik Yisura by an animal? It's Ischazik Yisura because at the end of the day, the animal is alive. While the animal is alive, it is usher to me. Yet still in that case, an Eid Echad is believed that Shechita was done correctly. The difference over this, as Rashi says, is because it's Biyado L'Takno. Biyado L'Takno means an Eid Echad is believed even in cases of Ischazik Yisura, when the Eid Echad has the ability to himself change the circumstances of the situation. You hear that, Chilik? Again, you should just know, if you ever have some free time, this happens to be a fascinating sugi in general. And this Tosas of Eid Echad that we read a little bit from, this is the major Tosas. So we're not going to get into Ischazik Yisura right now. For our purposes, suffice it to say like this. The Gemara wants to suggest, the Kasha was, if according to Rabbah, the Eid Echad, the Shaliach, is coming to attest to the validity of the get, therefore what? You should require two witnesses. Because he's not just delivering the get, he's testifying about the get. Eidos requires two, to which the Gemara says, no, one is okay. Why? This is an issue of Isser, and of prohibited matters, and Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Issurin. Fine. To which the Gemara says, no. Eid Echad is only believed in Isser when? When the Isser has not yet been established. In cases of Safek Isser, a possible Isser, but where there is definitive Isser, like Eishes Ish, that becomes a Dover Sher Be'erva. This becomes a matter of morality. And matters of morality, Erva issues, require two Eidim. Both say, where do we know, by the way, that a Dover Sher Be'erva requires two Eidim? Look at Rashi. We actually had this in Sota. Vein Dover Erva. Roi la'atira bepachos mishnayim, diyalif davar davar mimamon. Rabbi said that we learn out of gzeir shavav davar davar from monetary matters. Ksifach, it says over here, ki matzaba ervas davar. It says over here that actually by the section of get that he found within her a matter of immorality. Uksifasam, and it says over there, apishnayim edim yakum davar. Ultimately, again, through the testimony of two witnesses, the matters will stand. So both sides, Dar Darmi Mamon says that just as monetary matters require two edim, so too, again, erva matters of morality, also require two edim. In which case, we're back to our original question, which is according to Rabbah, who says that the Shliach Lo'loch is coming to give testimony about the kashrus of the get, the lishma nature of the get, so in Lamais, again, you should require two witnesses, to which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you the real answer. Stam Sifri de Dani Migmar Gemiri. The reality is, Abosai, that most Sofrim, the overwhelming majority of Sofrim, even those of Chutz La'aretz, know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and they know how to write a get lishma. Stam Sifri de Dani Migmar Gemiri. Virabonon hu da'atzruch. And Abosai, the reality is that this whole enactment of Bafan Enechtam, was just an additional fail-safe mechanism instituted by the rabbis. Rabbi Sai, when we first started this sugya, what it made it sound like was, outside of Chutz La'aretz, it's like the Wild West of Gittin. No one knows what they're doing. Kasha says the Imara, it's not true. Most people know what they're doing with Gittin. It's just that because, Rabbi Sai, because the stakes are so high, if somebody writes an unkosher get, The stakes are so high, therefore the rabbis wanted to place an additional mechanism just to make sure the get was kosher, and therefore instituted this b'fanei nechtam, v'hacha mishum iguna tap of gimel akilu barabonon. So therefore, essentially the Gemara says, it plays out like this, that really, Sofrim know what they're doing, Chutzar is Eretz Yisrael. Are there some Sofrim in Chutz La'aretz who don't know what they're doing? There are some, but they are few and far between. So the rabbis felt as a safety mechanism, if you are bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz, like you have to clear halachic customs. So what happens if you're coming in from Chutz La'aretz? You need to say b'fanechtav. Good, after you say that, by the way, now that you're saying you saw the get, was the get written l'shma? And the guy will say yes. I said, why not require two? It's still testimony. To which the Gemara says, Mishum iguna akilu barabanan. Both say, therefore, again, in order to avoid, we don't want to make this too difficult. So therefore, in order to avoid unnecessary holdups in the Gittin, we allow even for one witness to go ahead and testify about the validity of the get. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Hai kulahu chumruhu. Both say, you know, what looks, says the Gemara, what looks like a kula ultimately could translate as a chumra. How so? Di'i mitzarachas le'trei lo asibal ma'ar er upasale chad asibal uma'ar er upasale. So I said, the Gemara says something very interesting. So it's very nice. Mishum iguna kilu barabani only wants one aid. Here's the problem. If there's only one aid attesting to the validity of the get, then I'm both say, what could happen? The husband could absolutely show up in Beis Din and what? And could say the get was forged. Either is an aid echad. That's fine. The husband's also an eid echad. And what's going to happen? You have one eid echad against another eid echad. And again, I will say, it doesn't cancel the get out. The get may still be canceled, because remember, we're not going to be so quick to throw away a signed document, but Lamaise casts a cloud of doubt over the get, and we have to investigate. On the other hand, says the Gemara, had you required two eidim on the front end, then what? Once you had two witnesses saying, Bifaneinu nechtav, u bifaneinu nechtam, then what, Rabosai? We're done. We're done, because then essentially, even if the husband shows up and says, the get was forged, we don't listen to a word he has to say. So here the Gemara is saying, it's very nice. Apparently rabbis have hearts too. So they want to go ahead and take it easy on the woman and not create Naguna situation. That's fine. But what appears to you like a nice gesture, a kula, can in fact result in a much more complicated situation, as opposed to if you require two from the outset, you essentially put the matter to rest altogether. To which the Gemara gives a fascinating answer. To which the Gemara says, Kevan da Amar Mar, there's an answer. Because why? We'll see this later on. Actually, we'll see this in 2 days in Daf Hey. Kevan da Amar Mar, Bifne Kama Nosnala, Arabose, because you have to understand something. When the witness comes and delivers the get, let's say from Chutzar Tzaret Yisrael, he's not giving this get to the woman. Or I should say, I take that back. He's giving the get to the woman, but he's not just giving it him to her. He has to give it to her in the presence of other people. Either, chad amar bifnei beis, v'chad amar bifnei gimel. So I will say, so he gives it to her either in front of two other people, or in front of three other people. So because ultimately, again, he knows he's going to have to give it to her in front of either two witnesses or in front of a Beis Din. So both say the shliach will be very careful to make sure that he understands the details of this get in order that he does not look foolish. What does that mean? Both say, take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Bifnei kama nosna shaliach zel ishto va'omre bifnei b'fanechto bifnei shteim. So the shliach is not giving this directly to the woman. Rather, he is giving this over to the woman in the presence of either two or three people. We'll see that machlokis. Meikara meidik dayak. Hashliach kishemekablo miyadabal. The shliach is going to be especially careful and vigilant with the details of the shlichus when he receives the get from the husband. Ve'yodea bo sheberatza megersha. And he will only take the get if he's 100% sure that the husband is divorcing this wife willingly. And the husband's not going to come back and what? And object about the get. In other words, Rabbi Osai, the shliach has a lot riding on this. Why does he have a lot riding on this, Rabbi Osai? Because if he goes ahead and he delivers this get, and the husband shows up afterwards and what? The husband says, it's forged. Then what is the husband essentially saying about the shaliach? That he's a liar. Again, if the husband goes ahead and throws out there that the shliach is a liar, ultimately, what does it do? It goes ahead and casts aspersions on the shliach's credibility. Listen to the lashon of the Ritva. The Ritva says, he says, Zeh lashon hayinir, the dafka baldin dulo asadur nafshe, ha yasi, He says, he says essentially the same idea as Rashi, that the shaliach ultimately, again, he wants to make sure that his own credibility is not tarnished in this. Why? Because the Maaseh, if he comes along and says, b'fanechta, b'fanechta, and then it turns out that the Baal says, it's forged, Lemais, again, it's true, it sends the whole process into a tailspin. But more importantly, what it does is it makes the shaliach out to be a liar. So therefore, because of this, a shaliach will not undertake any mission unless, of course, he knows with 1,000% surety that the husband is behind this get process. Therefore, I will say, if you bring this full circle, here's what we have. And with this, we'll stop for today. Here's what we have. We have a fundamental machlokes, Rabba and Rava, as to why you need Bafane Nechtav or Bafane Nechtam. According to Rabba, you need Bafane Nechtam because that tells us of the validity of the get that it was written Lishma. According to Rava, you need it ultimately because of Inshay, we'll see Inshars and Suyos. You won't be able to get a hold of the witnesses if the get was written overseas. Therefore, this guy upholds the testimony. Essentially, what we've now established is that although according to Rabba, you should require two witnesses in order to go ahead and what? Uphold the validity of the Lishma aspect of the get. Essentially, says the Gemara, first of all, we're reversing course a little bit, and we're saying in reality, even Chutz Laretz, they know what they're doing in Gin. The majority know. For the small minority that doesn't, we put in this fail-safe. And even though you should require two, mishum iguna kilu barabban, the rabbis are mikel and allow you to get by with one. Aye, but isn't it a chumra that can lead to a kula? Because the husband could go out and challenge the get, to which the Gemara says, just b'metzius. In these situations where the shaliach is undertaking the responsibility for the get, the husband is not going to challenge it. Why? Because no shaliach in his right mind is going to undertake this responsibility if he knows there's the possibility that the husband is going to change his mind. Because if the husband shows up and changes his mind, whose credibility is undermined? The shaliach himself. And the shaliach is not going to undertake anything that ultimately would undermine his credibility. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Gimel Amud Aleph tomorrow.